Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we come to the psalm that is known by everyone, there really is so much there that I decided to have two sermons instead of one. The first one talked about provision, verses 1 to 3. And tonight we'll talk a little bit more about protection and His presence. In particular, the last verse that says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." On a Sabbath, Jesus heals a man who had the misfortune of being born blind. And then the Pharisees lose it. They're seething with anger. You know that they feel that he's the unstoppable interference, acting like he owns the place. They feel like they have been displaced or threatened by him, and it leads to an evident conflict. In fact, the more they oppose this rabbi who challenges them, the more it shows that they have entombed themselves in the caverns of hate. They get filled with revulsion and then animosity, and they push back against him. They challenge his authority, and they go deeper into that darkness. In fact, they are the ones who are blind. And so he uses the imagery, after all of that, of a very familiar setting, the use of a shepherd and sheep pen, and a gate. And through the familiar, Jesus reveals what they did not grasp, but that they also could be a part of the flock if they would follow him. He says, "I am the gate for the sheep." He starts by talking about being the noble, good shepherd, and that he's willing to lay down his life, but they don't get it. And because they don't, he moves on, but he uses the same analogy. Now he talks about the gate, and everyone before had been like a hired hand. They had actually not cared for the sheep and weren't the true voice that the sheep would know and follow. You see, a gate lets a person in and out, but it also reveals and conceals. You have the door going open to a life of good things, and the sheep go out and follow their shepherd. Then when it goes closed, it locks tight, except for one door that is never locked, no matter what the circumstances. That door, that gate, is Jesus. And through him, by faith, we gain access into heaven's grace. He says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So tonight we're going to talk about how he is the gate to goodness and mercy. There are two quick points here. There's only one gate. Jesus slices a contrast between himself and the Pharisees, because what they had shown was that they were more concerned about their own reputation and control than they were about the sheep. And so, in fact, he calls them thieves and robbers. He calls them hired hands. And if the Pharisees didn't realize he was talking about it, they would soon find that out. He's not one of many roads that lead to a good pasture of salvation. He is the gate, the only gate. And that's where it gets frustrating for people, because even we, in a world of what we would call universalism, many voices, many spiritual leaders, and they are all apparently very nice people. And so we even fall into this where we might say or conclude what someone believes isn't worth quibbling over because they all lead to the same place, right? I call this the path of irreconcilable dissonances. Too many voices. But Jesus says there's one voice. And you know, any door will work if you don't know where you're going. But only one doorway really matters. Salvation doesn't exist anywhere else. In Acts, Paul will cement this by saying, "There is no other name given among human beings by which we can be saved." And so our Lord instructs that they have to follow him, and that the gateway is very narrow. In fact, it is the width of a cross. You can call that, as one author said, that the hear more than that would be the wrong direction. There's only one place that you can slip across into eternal life. It's through the cross of Jesus on a wooden beam of death. He gave himself, the noble, the good shepherd, for the sheep. In the Gospel of John, this caused a lot of irritation, frustration, division. Verse 7, there was division that took place because of Jesus. Chapter 7. Then chapter 9, so they became divided. Then chapter 10, a division occurred again because of his words. But this is true. Like between Egypt and Israel. The gate, the door, is a blood-stained door. Do you remember how it occurred in the time of Moses when the children of Israel were in captivity? Do you remember how they got free? The angel of death would come and pass over the Israelites who were under the doorway of blood, but would kill every single firstborn across Egypt. In fact, no destructive plague will touch you in Egypt is what God promised them. And the blood was a sign so that when the angel of death would come, he would go over the top of them. So God provided his people with a preview and a promise that was achieved only by Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There it is. The tie back to the Passover where the blood was poured out and then painted over. It is by his wounds we have been healed. You see, this is the door of salvation. It is a blood-stained door, and all who enter through him will never have to be afraid. You know, he is going to say in Psalm 23, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's like going home. You know what it's like to open that door and say, I'm here, or we're home. The perfect home is a drawn curtain against mistrust and discontent. The world is shut out. And here is the magnet of love which draws those whose duties have taken them abroad back to the heart of contentment and rest. Call it home sweet home, when each lives for the other and all live for God. But this is the gate of mercy. You could call it the gate of heaven. Only Jesus could open a new way into the most holy place. The curtain at the temple, very heavy and prohibitive, blocked between man and a holy God. Until the blood was painted over all the sinners. And on that day, the temple curtain ripped. And it gave access. Human beings were no longer restricted from God. You know, it does say in that same verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And there it is. Through the gate of Jesus, we have access to God, to his presence, to his protection, to his goodness, to his mercy. In Revelation, John says, I set before you an open door which no one can shut. And the Lord's promise, whoever enters through him will be saved. No one ever comes to an eternal welcome in heaven because they admire Jesus. That just doesn't cut it. You have to believe in Jesus. And your belief is not real because you somehow enabled yourself to believe. This is the power of the Holy Spirit who grabs a hold of your heart, even through the valleys of the shadow of death. And he says, follow the shepherd. Your rod and your staff comfort me. He's the one that leads us home to his house. And it is in his presence that we have this perfect promise. He's leading us home, rescuing us. Surely goodness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the Spirit's power, God protects you now, on the day, and into the day when you meet him face to face. We are united to the gate of life everlasting. And as Peter says, this stirs a living hope within us. We are secure, and that is our confidence. A good shepherd who has called himself the gate to eternity. Amen.